Christians love in Seoul is a Christian school principal, president. But actually, he likes to be called brother in Christ. So let us receive him with big hands and warm, our brother in Christ, Victor. He will share the word of God with us under the topic, Shouldn't You Be Teachers? Amen.
Will you read, Pastor? Will you read the Hebrews?
Scripture?
Okay. Hebrews. Let's open our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 5.
Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 to 14.
It's on your bulletin also. You can read it from the bulletin.
On the screen. Share it together. Okay, ready, go. In fact, though by his time you also be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truth of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk being still in infant is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, I'm very happy to join with you again. Actually, one of my greatest joys is to visit Christians in other cities, in other countries. And so it's very, very wonderful to come and fellowship with you today, especially to have fellowship in God's Word. This is what brings us together. Without this, we would never know each other, perhaps. We would never meet each other, and if we did, we might not be nice to each other, right? But because of the love of God expressed through this book, because of that, we are here together today. So we are, I am especially thankful. My family lives in Seoul. My wife is Filipino, and I met her in the Philippines when I was doing a mission trip, and I was helping Filipino pastors to do evangelism in the country, and my wife was involved in Christian ministry there. So we met, and actually this month is 14th wedding anniversary. So I wish you could meet my family, but my wife is actually the Kyojang Sunsengnim. My wife is actually the principal of our Christian school, and I'm the administrator and pastor, you know, of the school. We also have two other pastors, that are Korean pastors, and another American pastor. So we are a team. My life here in Korea is to serve Korean people mainly, but I love to meet foreigners like myself, okay, and to share God's word. I like teaching, but I'm not actually a professional, okay? And actually, I'm sorry to contradict your pastor, but he was being very kind to me to say that I'm a professional teacher. But truly, I am not a professional teacher because a professional is someone who gets paid. And Aaron, do you have a high pass filter? You have like something to knock out the low frequencies, the poof, poof. Thank you. I'm a professional audio engineer, actually. That's my profession. So thank you for helping me with, yeah. Can you imagine if you were a professional tailor, you might be looking at my suit and saying, there's something wrong, you know, right? If you were a professional haircutter, you might be looking at my hair and saying, that's not quite right, you know. But I teach the Bible for free. So I don't get paid to teach, but I love to do what God asks me to do, okay? When I was 20 years old, before I was 20 years old, I was living my own life and doing my own thing and looking for success and wealth, you know, money and happiness. But I never found it until God laid hold of me. And when God took hold of my life, then I found what life is really all about. So that's what I like to tell other people. And I like to tell other people about Jesus. And how do we know about Jesus? Do you read about Jesus KTX, you know, when you're in the train or in the, you have a Junchal or Jihachal? Do you see on TV, do you see a lot about Jesus? No, not really. We don't hear about Jesus or learn about Jesus from the world. The only really solid information we have about God is right here in this book. So I can't tell anybody about Jesus except what I read in this book and what I live, okay? And so you too, you have the book, you have the word in your own language. Is there anyone here? I know I can see some men and women from other cultures. Would you just tell me what languages you speak? We know we speak English and we speak Korean. What other languages do we have here today?
Bengali.
Bengali, wonderful. From Bengal, right? Or Bangladesh?
Bangladesh.
And Chinese from China? Okay, I heard. And? Okay. Tagalog, right? And another language, you must speak more than one language if you're from the Philippines. What other languages? Spanish? All right, yeah. Most Filipinos are multilingual. My wife has four languages. So how about other brothers? Oromo? From where?
Ethiopia.
Oh, Amharic, yes. You have an alphabet with over 200 letters. It's a wonderful language. Yes. And others? All right. Well, I've actually visited all the countries that you've mentioned. I've been in Ethiopia in 1988. Actually, and at that time, it was illegal to worship Jesus. And the church met in secret. When I was in Ethiopia, we had to hide from the government at that time. So God has really worked wonderfully to bring the good news from Ethiopia to Korea. And so, and from Korea to Ethiopia too. See, that's what the body of Christ is all about, is is working together, partnership. We don't need American missionaries. We need missionaries from all cultures, okay? So we just want to follow the Lord. That's what we want to do. And my big question for you today is, shouldn't you be teachers? When we open the Bible to Hebrews chapter 5, we are reading a letter that was written about 2,000 years ago, and it was written to some Hebrew people. Those Hebrew people were the first Christians, actually. When Jesus came, he was born as a Jew, and he came to his own people. And in the same way, every one of us is born into a culture. We are born in Ethiopia, some of us are born in China, some in Bangladesh, some in Philippines, some in US, and some in New Zealand, right? And some in Korea, many in Korea, right? So God has, in his great wisdom, he has placed each of us. He actually made the cultures and the language. The language is developed because God scattered people. The cultures developed because he gave the people different languages, and because of having different languages, they scattered away from each other and developed different cultures. So we have different people in different lands. We have different ways of doing things. But there's man's way and there is God's way. Now, sometimes man's way agrees with God's way. For example, in my culture and in your culture too, I'm sure, we are taught not to speak lies. Okay, we're taught to speak the truth. And so God's way says, thou shalt not bear false witness. You know, you shall not speak something that's not correct. Yeah, especially against your neighbor. Yeah. Usually when people talk, they talk about other people. They don't, if they say something bad, they don't usually say something bad about themselves. But the Bible also, or in your culture and my culture, we are taught, don't kill. You know, do not murder people. And we see the Bible, God has also taught us that. Where did this all begin? Again, the Bible is the source. The Bible tells us when the first sin or error was committed, when Adam and Eve turned away from God, and then what resulted from that? Lying, murder, on and on. Many, many things resulted. But so where do we get this kind of knowledge? We get it from this book. We need to know this book. And so in our scripture passage today of Hebrews 5, verse 12 through 14, the writer, we don't know who wrote this book, but some have ideas, but the writer says that by this time they should be teachers, the people he wrote to. Now, the reason why this book, this letter of Hebrews is in this book is because our Christian forefathers, the early church leaders, recognized that this letter to the Hebrews applies to all Christians. It applies to every believer. So it's important for us to ask ourselves the same question, the same questions that are raised here in this book. Like, by this time, shouldn't we be teachers? He says, by this time, we should be teachers. He says, but though, the word though is kind of like hajiman, right? It means but, you know, but, you know, you ought to be teachers by this time, but you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles or words of God, the truths of God. So he is, what the writer is doing here is he's kind of giving an admonition, a little warning, like a mild rebuke to the readers. Whenever you read the Bible, you should be asking yourself, does this apply to me? Is this something that was written only for the receiver of the first receiver of the message? Or is this something that was written for all time? Is it universal, in other words? So, again, as you and I read this passage this morning, you and I should be asking this question. Shouldn't I be a teacher? What's the answer? He says, in this case, he says, though by, in verse 12, okay, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. Now, I want to ask, you can share with me, you don't have to say your name or anything, but if anyone is willing, tell me how old you are. Now, wait a minute, before you say how old you are, I don't mean when you were physically born. I mean when you were spiritually born. When you were born again. Okay, that's what Jesus said. You must be born again. So if you must be born again, then when were you born again? For me, I'm going to tell you, and then you can do a little math and figure out my physical age. I'm 37 years old. Okay. I'm 37 years old. Almost 38. Okay, so that's my spiritual age, all right? How about, just tell me, I'll close my eyes so I won't, you won't be embarrassed. Tell me, how old are you? 20? Uh-huh. More than 20? Okay, that's a good way to say it. Okay, anyone else? 24. Okay, so, how about this? Let's just put up your hand if you're 5 years old or less. Anyone 5 years old or less? Okay, a couple of people. Okay, that's great. All right, and how about 10 years old or more? Hands up. Okay, a lot of people. All right. Now, let me ask you, are you still drinking milk? Are you still, what is it? My wife used to know what this word, or she knows what the word is, but I used to know too. Anyway, the formula that babies drink in Korean, what is the name? Umnyu? Bunyu. Okay, bunyu. All right. Anyway, the illustration here is that little ones need milk. There's nothing wrong with milk, but you've got to grow and you've got to learn to eat meat. You've got to learn to eat vegetables and use your teeth. Yeah. Okay. I have a, believe it or not, Pastor is my witness. I have a 4-year-old son. Can you believe it? Yeah. Okay. It's a miracle. I agree. Yeah. It's a miracle. Don't be bashful. I agree. But yes, God blessed me with a 4-year-old son. And let me just show you. Let's see here. He's
I'm mixing the pancakes.
Yum yum. You like pancakes?
Yes. And I like peanut butter.
Wow.
And yogurt.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway. So, yeah, he says he likes pancakes and he likes peanut butter and he likes yogurt. But you know what he likes most of all? Milk. Yeah, milk. He likes milk. He's 4 years old and he still likes to suck on a bottle, but we don't let him, but when he sees it, he's like, oh, give me that, give me. But we have to force him to eat like a big person. We are teaching him to eat meat. And, ever since he was maybe about 1 year old or, 6 months, I think we started him on guayil, on fruit and no guaja, but guayil. And so as he has grown, we have given him more difficult things to eat, but more beneficial for his body. But still, he only wants gyul or, duyu, gyul, duyu, uyu. He wants easy, quick, sweet. If he can drink it, he loves juice. But I want him to eat solid food. So in our passage today, verse 13, anyone who lives on milk, you notice that lives, if you live on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. You need to be acquainted with the teaching, the doctrine of God and the doctrine of man. You don't know yourself until you read the Bible. The Bible is like, in a way, it's like a mirror that shows us who we really are. When I get up in first thing in the morning, especially like today, I got up very early, and I look in the mirror. I don't want to look again, right? When I look in the mirror, I think, oh, I'm getting old. Look at those wrinkles, and I need to shave, and my hair is a mess, I don't like to look in the mirror. And even when I arrived today, I didn't look in the mirror. And then I came to the huajangshil, the restroom, and I saw that my tie was not right. I thought, I need to check and organize myself. I look like I was sleeping on the street or something. So the mirror is important to us to know what we look like. We use a physical mirror, but we need to reflect on our lives. We need to see who we are in comparison with who God wants us to be. God wants us to be changed. He doesn't want us to stay the same. He wants us to be changed into the likeness of Jesus. This is what the Bible teaches us. Does anyone know? Don't say it, but who knows where that scripture is that I just quoted? That God wants us to be conformed to the image of his Son, to the likeness of Jesus. Okay, can you name the book? What book?
Romans,
that's right. Romans chapter 8. And would you please open your Bible to Romans 8? Romans 8, verses 28 and 29 are very important. They go together. All right, and may I get a volunteer to read Romans 8, 28? Just read 28 first, a volunteer, loud and clear. Would you stand up then, please, Philip?
And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose.
Amen. There are two things that are mentioned there, those who love God and those who are called. Okay, and so this is a promise. This is a very important promise for us. All things work together for good. Sometimes when I'm on the train, I fall asleep. And I miss my stop. I end up in another city. Not many times, but it has happened. And it's not good. It's not good, right? Or is it? Well, to us, it looks bad. It doesn't look good. But this is a promise that says that all things will work together for good to those who love God and those who are called by God. Okay, so if you are following Jesus, if you're a believer, you're called. And then the question of love is answered by whether you are loving God, whether you love God. And how do we love God? Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey my command. Okay? Now, I know we have a lot of commands, it seems. The Bible seems to be full of do this and don't do that, but actually the commands can be summarized in just two commands. Does anyone want to tell me what those two commands are? That's right. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Let's turn to Matthew. And review this command, okay? In Matthew 22, if you would open your Bibles to Matthew 22. And let's start with verse 36. All right, let's read together, okay? And we'll read Matthew 22, 36, and 30 through 38 first, okay? So let's go. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, I have a little different English than you do, I'm sorry. Okay, I actually brought from pastor's office, I brought an NIV Bible, so I should put my, that's New King James, that's my favorite, but okay. That's, so in Matthew 22, verse 37, this is where Jesus tells us the greatest command, the most important command, to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. Okay? And Jesus also said with all your strength. Okay? In another gospel, the four gospels recorded, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the synoptic gospels, there is recorded a slightly different words. And so Jesus did also say, with all your strength, okay? So we love God by following him and by doing what he said. If I say, dara haseo, you know, then the student will follow the teacher. And if the student doesn't follow the teacher, the student gets a bad grade, right? Or the student can quit, you know, say, you don't like my teaching? Okay, go, you're free to go. But if we're gonna follow Jesus, we need to follow his teaching. And so the test of love is obedience. When my children, by the way, how many of you have children? Please show me if you are a mom or a dad. Abunim, omonim, yeah. Okay, a lot of you. All right, so when I ask my children to do something, and they, they don't want, I say, if you love me, then you will obey me. That's the test. If my children, now, they could do what I asked, but, they could do it with a bad attitude, but I don't want that. I don't want them to just do without having a change of heart about it. So sometimes I have to talk to my children. And this is what God is trying to do for us. You know, when we might see something in the Bible, and how many of you are working in a job? You have a job, and I'm not gonna I rebuke you if you don't have a job, but if you have a job, sometimes in your work, someone might ask you to lie. Somebody might say, look, it says that we only have this much money, but you tell them we have this other amount, or in your work, someone might say, listen, I'm really busy, so if you get a call, tell them I'm not here, okay? So many times a non-Christian parent might tell his child, someone's knocking on the door. Tell them I'm not here, you know. But that's not telling the truth, you see? And so the Bible says, do not lie to one another. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Okay, here we find it right here. Colossians 3, verse 9. Do not lie to each other. Can you pop it up easily? Okay, Colossians 3, verse 9. Right, do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Okay, let's look at that now. Beautiful. Okay, so do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Okay, so in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we read about loving God. Now let's read the next verse. Okay, in Romans 8, 29. Okay, and are we ready? You should be able to get this in your Bible. Romans 8, 29. Actually, I want to reread 28. Okay, 28, dashi, okay. And we know, let's do it together, and can you scroll down? Okay, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. And now verse 29. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son. Okay, let's stop right there. Oh, that's okay. Just a second. I'm sorry. That's to be conformed to the likeness of his son. Who is that? Jesus Christ. All right. All right. All right. And that he, Jesus, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And actually the word there is used, sounds like only brothers, but it's talking about brethren or brothers and sisters. Okay, so don't feel left out, ladies. However, Jesus was a man, and so he's a brother. Yeah. So God's will is for us to be changed, conformed. I'm not like Jesus yet, okay? I'm old, I'm 37, almost 38, but I'm not yet like Jesus. I'm not yet conformed, and I'm ashamed to admit it. I want to be like Jesus, but I'm not yet. But God's changing me, all right? And God wants to change you. Now, why are these two verses together, Romans 28 and Romans 29? They're together because the way that God conforms us into the likeness of Jesus is through problems. Yes. Now, God doesn't create evil or bad things. God doesn't make problems, you know, like, I'm going to torture Philip today. No, that's not the way God is. But problems exist because of the evil of man, all right? It's not God's fault that evil exists. Evil exists because people exist. Now, God is going to do away with evil someday. Evil is only temporary. See, this is the good part of the good news, is that God is going to cleanse the universe of evil, okay? So right now, there is evil in the world. What good is evil? Well, God can make something good out of trouble and problems. And so because we live on this earth, we face the difficulties of this world. And we can see that in this chapter 8, in Romans chapter 8, many things mentioned here apply to difficulties and problems, okay? And so he speaks about suffering and other difficulties in this chapter, Romans chapter 8. Let's go back, and we're going to read in Romans 8, starting with verse 12. Okay. All right, and so verse 12. Let me just read to you, all right, and you follow along with your eyes. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. That's not good. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Oh, that's good news. So what does God want? He wants you to live. He wants you to live by the Spirit. He wants you to, and how do we learn how to do that? From this book. This is the place. You can find many paperback books in the Christian bookstore, but I don't want you to waste your time. This is the best book. Start here. All those other books, those are man's ideas about this book. Why read a book about the book when you can read the book? So if you read this, it's going to change you. Jesus said when he prayed in the garden, when he was just before he was going to be crucified, he prayed, "Father, set them apart by the truth. Your word is truth." And that's John 17, 17. So God wants you to be set apart like Jesus was set apart. He said, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. Sanctify is where we get the word sanctuary, okay? It means to make something holy, to make something special. When we are born, we are not holy. We are ordinary people. But when God saves you, he puts his Spirit in you, and you become the temple of the Spirit. You become a sanctuary. You become holy, actually, set apart. And so how can you be set apart? Jesus said, by the truth. And what is the truth? Do you find the truth in the Hankyore Shinmun, or do you find the truth on SBS or something like that? Not always. You find a lot of, some things are true, but some things are not true. Especially on the internet, there's a lot of stuff that's not true, okay? So this is the source of truth. And God wants you to be set apart. God wants you to be changed to be like Jesus. He wants you to grow up. He wants you to, he says, don't ever be lacking in zeal. Okay, you know, yalshim, right? Is that the right word? Zeal. You must have zeal for God. Remember the commandment, the great commandment. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Love God with everything you've got. God wants you to follow closely to him. David said, my soul follows close after you, O Lord. He doesn't want us to follow Jesus at a distance. Okay. He wants us to follow up real close. Okay. He wants us to be within kissing distance. Okay. He wants us to be face to face. Where can we see Jesus? In this book. You can't see him out there in the world sometimes, but not often. You need to spend time here. This is what the writer to the Hebrews was saying. You know, he's saying you ought to be teachers. You should be finished with milk. Some people only hear the Bible on Sunday. And that's good. It's good to listen to the Bible, but you're listening to my teaching, or you're listening to Pastor Ha or to another pastor. Maybe you're saying, oh no, but I download sermons and I read sermons on them. I listen to J. Vernon McGee, or I listen to John MacArthur, or John Piper. Or yeah, you know, that's great. I think that's good, but are you opening the book yourself and letting God guide you through his word? Okay, we're gonna get back to Romans chapter 8 here, and just wanted to finish up with talking about how God uses problems in our life, okay? Okay, so let's go back to Romans. We had read chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. And if you live by the Spirit and you put those bad deeds of yours and mine, you know, lying, cheating, stealing, looking at things that we shouldn't look at, if you put those things to death by the Spirit, you will live. Why? Okay, let's go. Romans 8, 14. Okay. Paljang Shipsajal. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God and daughters. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father, or Appa, right? Appa. It's a term of endearment. It's a term of closeness. You know, your children can't say Appa to another man, right? If we are children of God, we're going to know him as Appa. This verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. In other words, you're going to have peace in your heart. If you are a real Christian, you're going to have peace. I know I'm a son of God. If you don't have complete peace, you're not reading the book. The Bible is what builds up our faith. Okay? Faith comes by hearing. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or by the word of Christ. Okay. Verse, we are in Romans chapter 8, Verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. That means you're going to inherit. You're going to, like when my father died, he left some things to me. He left his wedding ring and some precious things that his mother gave him. Okay, we have some spoons that say D for Darlington, which was my great-great-great-grandfather. They're passed down over 150 years ago. Okay, there's little silver spoons. So my three sisters and I got one spoon each with a D, and that came by inheritance. You are an heir, okay? If you are a child, you are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. That's what I'm saying. Jesus came to a world full of troubles, and did he have a good time? Was it just a big party for Jesus? Woo, hey, this is fun. No, Jesus suffered. Jesus suffered because he was truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He lived the word of God. So the Old Testament, the Guyak, right? That tells us about Jesus before Jesus came. And the Shinyak, the New Testament, tells us about Jesus after he came. That's what the whole Bible is about. The whole Bible is about Jesus and about how God wants to change you into Jesus' likeness, okay? He wants us to be like Jesus. He wants us to be brothers and joint heirs with Christ. If we want to share in his glory, we will share in his suffering. Okay? God doesn't want lukewarm Christians. He doesn't want weak Christians. He wants us to be strong. We're going to take some hits in the world. Okay, the world is not going to like us if we stand firmly for the truth. But you need to grow up. I need to grow up, okay? Now there's a baby that wants to grow up, okay? But you know what, one of the things I love about Jesus is he doesn't push. He doesn't push you and he doesn't push me. You know what he says? What does he say to his lambs? Follow me, exactly. That's what Jesus said to every one of his disciples, to Matthew, to Bartholomew, to Andrew, Peter, Philip. He said, follow me. Jesus is a gentleman. He's actually, it's very important for you to understand that you need to do something in this relationship between you and God. You can't just sit there and say, feed me, feed me. You know, put a bottle in my mouth. You know, God wants us, milk is good for babies, but God wants us to grow up. And that means you've got to get up in the morning and say, God, speak to me. I'm going to open your word. I want you to speak to me, God. How many of you have ever been in love? Anyone here? Do you know what it's like to be in a one-sided love relationship? When I was a boy, I was very shy and interested in computers and electronics and things like that. Okay, I was a geek. Okay, I was a nerd. I still am. Okay, but I was so shy that I didn't want to say anything to a girl, okay? I just would, oh, she's cute, you know. Oh, she's coming my way. Oh, run away. But you see, God doesn't want a one-sided love relationship with you. He doesn't want to just say, I love you, and then you run away. You've got to do something. You've got to say, I love you too, God. I'm going to get up tomorrow 15 minutes early, and I'm going to read the Bible instead of just staying up late tonight watching the MBS drama or something like that. I'm going to go to bed on time, and I'm going to get up early, and I'm going to read the Bible. And I'm going to ask you to speak to me, God. That's doing something in your love relationship with God. God wants us to, in Romans chapter 12, he says, never be lacking with zeal. Never be lacking with zeal. And he says, work in Philippians chapter 2, he says, work out your salvation as God works in you. Okay, it's a two-way thing. You have to get out on the street and do something. God doesn't want us to just be closet Christians. Okay, well, Lord, I love you, but I have to go to work today, and I know my boss is going to ask me to lie, so please forgive me, God. I'm going to go to work, and I'm going to be a liar today. Oh, that's... God isn't calling us to that. God is calling us to be truth in our workplaces, to be truth in our schools, to be truth in the stores. When somebody, you go to buy something at the store, and you give them Mon 1, and or let's say you give them Oman 1, and they're supposed to give you Chun one back, but they give you Man one back. And you crumple it up and you put it in your pocket and you go, Kamsahamnida. No. You say, oh, you made a mistake. It's 49,000 and I gave you 50. And they're going to say, oh, here's your Chun one. They're going to say, thank you. Why? Because if their money isn't correct, it comes out of their pocket. In other words, if you keep the money, you can't just say, well, Lotte Mart is big. They can afford to lose a little money. God blessed me. No. No. God blessed you with a problem, a challenge. And you need to be faithful. You need to be truth. You need to stand up and say, oh, my flesh, my old nature wants some money, but I want to follow Jesus. Here's your money back. And that person is going to say, oh, thank you, you know. If you take the money, you're sinning against that person, actually. The Bible says, if you know what the right thing to do is and you don't do it, that's a sin. Let's not live that way anymore. Let's grow and let's follow Jesus with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength. Now, I want to give you, Pastor Ha said that you usually quit around this time, but I want to give you a little extra. You can call it the turbo Bible study if you want, okay? So if somebody has to go, I won't be offended, but I want to return to this question, shouldn't you be teachers? And it's actually a blessing that Pastor He introduced me as a professional teacher, because then I could tell you I'm not a professional, right? And God doesn't need professional teachers. He actually has called all of us to be teachers. And even if you don't admit it, you're still a teacher. You are teaching people something every day. You are a teacher. You are teaching people the right way to live or the wrong way to live. Okay. Every one of us is a teacher. I tell my children, don't pretend to be a Christian. My daughter is 12 years old, and by the way, for those of you who don't remember from last time, I got married very late. I got married when I was 44 years old, okay? So there's hope for anybody, you know? There's hope for any of us. I didn't get married because I was really busy traveling all over the world, and probably I wasn't ready for marriage. God knew that he had to shape me some more, and sometimes my wife thinks I'm still not ready for marriage. But that's okay. She still loves me. That's what love is all about. Love isn't just wonderful things, but love means choosing to care for somebody who isn't perfect. And my wife is doing that. Praise God. But so I didn't get married until I was late, and that's why I have a 4-year-old son and a 12-year-old daughter. And I tell my daughter, because she professed belief in Jesus some, 5 years ago or so. But I tell her, because sometimes her behavior is not right, and I tell her, Maria, whatever you do, don't fake it. Don't start pretending to be a Christian. If you can live like a Christian on the inside and on the outside, that's wonderful. But don't pretend. Okay? So the problem is that there are a lot of people who are pretending to be Christians, who are on Sunday, everything is lovely and beautiful, but Monday through Friday, it's, they're off in the world. Are they living for God every day? That's the question. Are we doing our best? That's what Jesus meant by love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and all your strength. He means do your best, do everything you can. Be zealous for God. And if you are, God will use you. Again, we are all teachers, so what are we teaching? You're going to reproduce whatever you are showing the world, people are going to follow you. That's what culture is, by the way. Culture is people following people, okay? Why do Americans eat with fork, knife, and spoon, but Koreans eat with spoon and chopsticks? Why do we do things differently? Why do Korean people have the light switch for the bathroom on the outside, but American people have the light switch on the inside? We're different cultures. We follow each other. That's what culture is. Now, the problem is that a lot of things, God doesn't tell you where to put the light switch in your bathroom, okay? But God has a lot of other things to say, like, do not lie. Okay, simple thing. So we've got to always look at our culture. Well, this is, you can't just say, well, Monday through Friday, I have to go with the Samsung culture. Or, you know, I work for Daewoo or I work for Hyundai. I have to follow what my boss tells me. You really need to trust God is what you need to do. You need to say, boss, I'm sorry, but I can't lie for you. I'm sorry, but you know me, I'm a good employee. I give my strength and my mind, you know, 40 hours a week or 60 hours a week. I work hard for this company, you know me, but I can't lie. I can't make a false report for you. And that man or woman is going to say, what? You're not submitting to me? Boy, this guy is different, you know? What's inside of you? Are you rebellious? Are you just insubordinate employee? Should I fire you? No, boss, I will serve you. I will do everything that you ask me to do as long as it's true and legal, you know? Okay, boss? Because I'm following a higher power. I'm following God. I'm my ultimate judge. You're my judge Monday through Friday, but God is my judge all the time. Huh? So other people are going to follow you. They're going to see your example. You are a teacher. And God has blessed you. God has acquainted you with the knowledge of Jesus, of knowledge of God. Okay, Jesus is God in human form. And so he's 100% God, he's 100% man, and he's calling us to follow Jesus and to be like him. God has blessed you. God has given you things. He's given you time, for one thing. He's given you talent or abilities. Some of you can sing. Some of you can sew. Some of you can pour. Maybe you can make metal castings and things like that. Some of you can drive. Some of you can fly, maybe. I don't know. There may be a pilot in our midst. But all the things that God has given you to do, the time, the talents, or the treasure. You know, maybe God has given you a little bit of money or a lot of money. Okay? Whatever God has placed in your hand, you can use it for him. Every one of us has received something. There's no one here who has created himself. Okay? So you have to be thankful, and you have to be a giver. You are a receiver, and God's calling you to be a giver too. All right, now what I want to do is I gave Aaron some PowerPoint, and I want to just talk briefly with you about how to study the Bible, just really briefly. Okay. So let's go ahead and put that up, okay? And like I told you, God doesn't want professional Bible teachers, but he wants us to represent him. Now, the man who was translating the Bible into English was William Tyndale. Hundreds of years ago, he said, one day I will make the boy that drives the plow in England to know more of the scriptures than the Pope does. Okay? Now, this was at a time when there were professional Bible teachers. They were called priests, okay, in the Catholic Church and the Anglican Church. And the ordinary, they had the scripture in Latin only. Ordinary people, you couldn't get the Bible in Amharic. You couldn't get the Bible in Mandarin. You couldn't get the Bible in Tagalog. You could not get the Bible in Bengali at that time. You see, the Bible was only in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. So the priests had power over the people. They could tell them anything. They could say, the Bible says you have to give me money. And the people would, okay, all right, here's my money. Okay, the priests had control over the people because the priests controlled the word of God. But not so. Because of William Tyndale, we have the Bible in English. And because we have the Bible in English, many missionaries have translated the Bible directly from Hebrew and Greek into other languages. Well, what happened to William Tyndale? For his zeal, for his love for God, did they make him president? Did they make him king of England? No. In 1535, he was arrested. He was jailed in the castle in Belgium for over a year. Then he was put in a court and tried as a heretic, as Edan, okay? And he was tried for heresy and treason. Then he was strangled and burned at the stake. He was burned, murdered and burned by the church because he did something for fellow man. Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. He got killed for sharing the truth. What are we doing? Oh, I don't want to say anything. I might be embarrassed. I might, Chaemyeon. Oh, I can't say I'm a Christian. Yes, you can. God will use you. God will do mighty things for you. All right, let's continue in this look at what the proverb says. Okay, my son, my daughter, if you will receive my words and hide my commands within you, so that you incline your ear unto wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry after knowledge and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you shall understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. All right, it's a promise. Is it possible? Okay. These are conditional promises, though. If you receive, if you hide, if you cry, if you seek, then you will find. This is the promise of God. And go ahead and next. So you need to incline your ear to knowledge and lift up your voice. And these are the conditions for the promise to be fulfilled. So any computer programmers here? Okay. All right. This is a conditional clause, okay? If this, then that, okay? It's a logical truth, and that's what God's promises are for us. All right, now, so let's go on. How should we use the Bible, okay? Next, just go through these. Okay, just hang on a second. The Bible says we need to hear the Bible, okay? Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So you say to me, oh, Pastor Victor, I don't have enough faith to tell somebody about Jesus. Well, okay, you see the problem. You don't have enough faith. You're not reading the word. Build up your faith. Hear the word, and you will have much faith. Okay, and then study the word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to study or show yourself to God, okay, as a workman, okay, who doesn't need to be ashamed. Someone who handles the truth correctly, right? That's what we are to do. So we need to hear the word. We need to study the word. Let me just read that to you from the New International Version, okay? 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best, right? Do your best to present yourself to God, a workman who does not, as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Do your best. That yelshimi, right? It means give it all you've got. You know, there are so many, like I said, there are so many decisions to make every day. And if you stay up late tonight, you're not going to be able to get up early. So even you can worship God by sleeping. You can say, God, I'm gonna worship you tomorrow morning by reading your word. So tonight I'm going to worship you by going to sleep. So when I wake up, I won't be, you know, falling asleep in my Bible. I'm going to get a good night's rest. All right, go on to the next passage. Reading the word, all right? Deuteronomy chapter 17. Read the word. The Bible says that the scripture is to be read all the days of his life so that he may learn to honor God and to follow carefully all the words of this book. Okay, so Deuteronomy tells us that we can honor God through reading the word. Okay, memorize. Okay, the next one. Psalm 119, verse 11. We have a song like this. Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Okay, so we sing that song, Psalm 119. The whole chapter of this book is about God's word. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So God wants us to memorize, to remember the word of God. What's going to happen tomorrow when you go to your job or you go to your school and someone challenges you? They tell you something like, you don't need to pay your taxes. It's all right. You know, the government has enough money. You're going to be saying, oh, wait a minute. God's word says to love my neighbor as myself. That means if I don't pay my taxes, the government is not going to be able to provide services to the other people. And, you know, like the road or the defense, the national defense. Yeah. No. I should pay my taxes. And Paul in Romans chapter 13 said, pay your taxes. All right, let's go on to the next one. Meditate. All right, in Joshua chapter 1, God said, be strong and courageous. And then in verse 8, he said, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Don't let the book depart from your mouth. And meditate day and night. That does, by the way, day and night, you might think, okay, I read the Bible in the morning and then I read the Bible at night. That's good. I agree. That's good, but the expression day and night actually means all the time. Don't let the word of God depart from your mind, your meditation, okay? You know, the Eastern religion, like Hinduism, they teach you yoga. They teach you to meditate on nothing. Does God tell us to meditate on nothing? No. Meditate on the Word. That's what you meditate on. You can do your exercises however you want, but meditate on the Word. Don't follow the Eastern religion, okay? I'm not, you know, faulting anybody for stretching their elbows, you know, before you play tennis, but be careful about yoga, okay? Because yoga is part of Hinduism, and it's not compatible with the Word, okay? So just, all right, so last one on the list here is do. And there's Joshua 1, verse 8. Again, we need to do. We need to meditate on the Word, read it, study it, memorize it, hear it, meditate on it, do it. All right, now, if any of you are interested in how to study the Bible, I brought some books, okay, and I think they're in the back on the table there. I'm not here to make money, but the books are Yichun One for each book, okay? It's a little book. I should have saved one as a sample, but there might be only about 10 of them, but I just give the books to you the same amount of money I spent, okay? You get them for the same price as I paid. So I'm a non-profit, okay? Yeah, okay. There's the book, yeah. Okay, so how to study the Bible. And this is a very simple, it's a very short book, and you can go, if you say, Victor, I don't have time to read that book. That book is 95 pages long. Well, I'll tell you, you can get the heart of it in about 5 pages, okay? So I'll show you if you can start in the middle if you want. But I highly recommend you read this book. And I have some other books for those of you who are stronger in Christ. Another book is called Applying the Bible. And so God wants you to grow, all right? Let's go ahead and go to the next slide here. And next, why study the Bible? The last words that Peter said were these: grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay, and go ahead and show us, those were the last instruction that Peter gave. And we already looked at some of these other scriptures. You can just go all the way to the end, I think. Let's see. Almost. Yeah. Well, it's like slide 30. Is there any way to choose slide 30? How to do application. How we do application. Okay. Is it just have to go one by one? Okay. Yeah, sorry. Okay, so anyway, keep going through. These are the different types of Bible books and reading. Okay, step one more. Okay, this is the step I want you to see. Okay? When in Joshua 1:8, we're told, be careful to do the things that are written. Well, how do we do? How do we apply the Word? We want to respond to the Bible. Okay? Again, a relationship is give and take. You know, and God wants to give you something, and He wants to have something back from you. He wants to interact with you. He wants to communicate with you. through the text. This is God speaking to you, and you pray, and you speak back to God, and you live. How you live is your response to God. So when you're reading the book, you can remember very easily this word, speak, S-P-E-A-K. God wants to speak to you, all right? So in the Bible, S means sin. When you're reading the Bible and you see the Bible tells something about sin, that you can say, I'm also sinning like that. Oh, you know, look at what David did. You know, David was sinning, and that's a sin that I need to forsake. Or P, promise, all right? Like today, we read Romans 8:28, a promise. And we read Proverbs chapter 2, you know, the promises. So, you know, are there some promises that I should believe and that I should lay hold of? Okay. And then E, okay, S-P-E. Is there an example, a good example in the Bible, something I should follow? A, is there some action that I need to take? For example, Jesus taught about forgiveness. Is there somebody that you are angry at today, or maybe you've been angry for 10 years? Is there someone that you need to forgive? The Bible says, forgive one another as God in Christ forgave you. If you don't forgive your brother, God will not forgive you your trespasses. That's what the Bible says. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. So is there some action you need to take, or a command to obey? Again, we're commanded to forgive. Are you forgiving? And then lastly, S-P-E-A-K. Is there some knowledge of God? Sometimes when we read the Bible, we don't see God telling us to do something. But what we learn is something about God. We get to know God. So I want to leave this with you. This is the last part of your turbo Bible study, is application. Now it's your turn. Okay, I came and I shared with you. Now God wants to share with you tomorrow morning or tonight. Get your Bible out. Say, God, please speak to me. I want to learn. Is there some sin in my life I should forsake? Is there some promise you want me to believe? Is there an example that I should follow? Is there some action or a command that I should do? Is there something about you want me to learn, God? S-P-E-A-K. Let God speak to you. All right, let's pray. Dear Father, thank you so much that you allowed me to visit these precious lambs of yours, Lord, my brothers and my sisters. Lord, thank you for loving them. Thank you for loving all of us, Lord. We can't find another father like you. To whom shall we go, Lord? You alone have the words of eternal life. Father, thank you for sending Jesus, for becoming a man. Actually, Lord, you in your awesome, miraculous triunity, you came to earth and you became a man, and you lived and you suffered like we do, Lord. Thank you that you identified with us. And Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters here today. I pray that you would bless them, give them strength from your word, strength to do what's right, strength to stand up for the truth, strength to be sons and daughters of light, of truth. You Your word says you are truth and you are light. Lord, help us all to walk in the light as you are in the light, as you desire to have fellowship with us. We need you, Lord. We are, apart from you, we can do nothing. And we are lonely people in this world, Lord. Even if we have friends, they desert us, they betray us, they say bad things about us. Sometimes they turn against us, Lord, but you are faithful. And Lord, I pray that you would bless my brothers and sisters and give them the joy of being a blessing to someone else. Lord, shouldn't we all be teachers? Lord, in fact, we are. We are teaching something. So help us to teach what's right. Lord, fill us with your word. Fill us to overflowing so that it flows over and onto others, Lord. Bless us to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. We pray in Jesus' name.